Welcome to another World Cafe Words and Music podcast from WXPN and NPR Music. I'm David Dye. Our cafe guest today, Liz Phair, came to prominence with her 1993 album Exile in Guyville, an album she described as a song-for-song response to the Rolling Stones' Exile on Main Street, and her reaction to the kind of boys' club style of the indie rock scene in Chicago where she lived. It was also the most sexually frank album of its time and was a pretty universally acclaimed piece of early 90s culture. Phair's work has since taken on a more commercial bent, which brings us to her new album, Fun Style, once again on her own label and packaged with her girly sound demos, which were her original releases. The music we'll hear in a few minutes was recorded in front of an audience at World Cafe Live. I started our conversation asking about the girly sound recordings and asking if it was purposeful to pair them with Fun Style or just kind of the time to give them wider distribution.
Not at all. I really felt that both topically and stylistically, there's a lot of similarities, and a bunch of critics picked up on it early. There's a whimsy, if you will, in the songwriting that I feel sort of, you know, there's a parallel between them. On Girly Sound, I would do voices, yep. I would do mashups between different styles, I would rip off other songs.
And what does Fun Style do?
All those things, pretty much. I'm ripping off Bollywood, I'm rapping. You know, there's a lot of fun and humor and assumed voices and sound design type soundscapes. There's just a wildness to both of them.
What was going on in your life when you made the Girly Sound recordings? Did you make them with any purpose other than for yourself?
No, I made them. I had two friends who had requested some form of these songs. And I'd been living in San Francisco, not getting a job, not doing what I was supposed to. I'd run through all my savings. I was having a blast, but I came home, lived with my parents. This is just after getting out of college.
Right.
And decided to put down, finally, on cassette, that's what it was back then, these songs that I'd been writing for years, really. And some of my parents' friends would go out of town in the winter, and I would house sit for them and set up my little amp and my four-track and just record these things all day long. And I had so many to record. I think I pumped out about 30 in like a three-week period. I just had so many that were waiting just to be born in a weird way.
Well, it's one of the things that you notice, and people, you'll be able to tell this from our live set coming up, is, and it's apparent in the Girly Sound songs too, you have such a strong kind of chord patterns to your songs that as soon as you begin the chord pattern of a song, everybody knows what it is. And this is really, it's true with Girly Sound. A lot of times it's just you double tracked and the guitar. And there's all these, as you mentioned, these kind of cool little throw in things that happen too. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that what you do is right there at the beginning.
So I have a very, I think, unique way of writing melodies on guitar. I wasn't formally trained. I think I have a very visual take on my fretboard. I actually will move around just because I've stayed in one place too long, and I kind of invent chords. And I think a lot of them end up being known chords. It's not like I'm reinventing the wheel, but I'm very free in terms of how I will get the sounds that I want. And it's interesting because I read Keith Richards' autobiography, Life, and he was talking about how he'll actually be trying to play bass parts or trumpet horn parts in his guitar chords. And I do that a lot, too. I've always tried to add other instrumentation to my guitar playing just because I hear it in my head. And so I think it makes for a very recognizable sound.
Definitely. Let's talk about the subject matter of Fun Style. The music business takes it. Okay, it's
I didn't
it's
know
fun.
Where to go with that.
It's
the
fun.
The music business takes it.
But you stick it to just about everybody. Was this a reaction to your major label experience, or was this just in general? I mean, because frankly, you know, from the very beginning, men in the music business have had a hard time with Liz Phair from the very beginning.
Well, I mean,
I don't
guess,
know if I should do it, you know, specifically men. But
it is usually men. I mean, there are a couple women that have, remember one photographer very early on really humiliated me and was very frustrated with her. I didn't expect it from a sister. But it's just, I don't have any other, sometimes when I feel powerless, what I do is I go to my guitar. I write a song. Songwriting for me has always been about being able to say what I cannot say in life. And I'm enough of a business person not to run into an office and scream and rant and whatever, throw a gun down on the table like some rap artist. But I definitely felt, you know, Guyville was really about sticking it to that scene, the alternative right. scene that then embraced me. I was also skewering with that record because I'd been so frustrated and so repressed by all that kind of stuff. And Fun Style is no different. Only it's the big corporate entities. But the corporate entities are made up of individuals, and they know who they are.
Well, your foray into making more commercial music was met with the same kind of everything else you've done. With, but whenever I talk to you about those records, you embrace them completely. I never felt that there was any kind of like, hey, I had to do this, or this is what I wanted to do. And I felt like that. Did you? So there were people in the music business who just felt like you didn't do that enough, or did they just weren't hits? Or
I mean, it obviously must be some kind of like thing in me that drives this rebellious engine. And I have to say, I tend to be in the moment. I'm one of those people that's really in the moment. Some people, on a good note, that makes me sort of eternally young because I'm always, wow, you know, the new thing.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't have perspective. And so when I was on a major label, and I didn't sign to it, I was left there by my indie label who had signed to the major. So I found myself alone on a major label, and all they were interested in was pop, really. Mm-hmm. And that was all they were willing to put money behind. So I went pop and enjoyed every minute of it, really, except for everyone bashing me. So it's choices I've made, but it's also it's me reacting almost as a survivor and an optimist to circumstances I find myself in.
It must be gratifying to you to see the support, as I say, every time you do, you know, you open one of the chord patterns in one of the old songs, people know, you know it and love it. Is it gratifying to you to do, you feel trapped by the old music, or do you feel you love the reaction you get?
No, I feel completely not only liberated, but empowered by my old music and the fans that love it. And I even love playing live now, which I cannot believe I'm saying. Like, that was something I was never that into, and now I really am.
Not that into. I believe you were petrified.
I was terrified. I had terrible stage fright, and I couldn't get out of my own way. And I've just turned a corner, and it's just, I mean, I can't even tell you what that means to me. So, you know, thanks to all the fans that have come out and supported me through everything, and I hope to rock for them.
Absolutely. Let's go to the stage, World Cafe Live, Liz Phair, and who's in the band? We should.
Greg Saran, the guitarist, and Nick McCree is on bass, and Dan Lealy is on drums.
We'll be right back. It is cold out there.
Mesmerizing, you know that one. Liz Phair, live on stage at World Cafe Live. And our thanks to Liz for talking with us. Her new album is called Fun Style, and it's packaged with those girly sound demos. World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN and NPR Music is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia at xpn.org. Thank you for spending your time here with the World Cafe.